Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, the 30th of July. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly.
Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Oh, so it's going to be that kind of show, huh?
It really is, hon. Buckle up. I would like actually to start with you, Charlotte. You wrote up a number of the bits of news that came up out of the antitrust hearings yesterday, where Tim Cook was one of a number of heads of tech companies that were called in front of Congress, so to speak, because they weren't actually there. They were all doing this online.
Yes, Mr. Cook goes to Washington, but virtually.
Yeah, goes Washington.
But yeah, no, it was interesting. Look, it's the first time we've ever seen these four together like this. It's the first time Jeff Bezos, I believe, has ever appeared in front of such a hearing. He's always kept a low profile. And there was a lot there. There's a lot to unpack, depending on which company you were particularly interested in. What I think what's notable to us is that Tim Cook seemed to get off a lot lighter and be questioned less than his peers. That didn't stop him coming out with quite a few good lines. it was interesting. Look, Apple has got its line and it's keeping to it. It says, sure. You know, Tim Cook said yesterday, if Apple is a gatekeeper, what we've done is open the gate wider. He described the App Store as an economic miracle that allows, it's an economic miracle that the App Store allows a person in their basement to start a company and serve 170 countries around the world. And said he thinks it's the highest job created in the last decade. So there's a lot there. He did, interestingly, talk about the Hey app controversy that you, Andrew, and I have discussed before. Yeah, he actually did. He dealt with that head on. Including, you know, pointing out they now have a free version available. And also, I know this one tickled Brian a bit. He responded to a complaint about removing some parental control apps as Apple brought in its own screen time feature. It brought in its own parental control device services. And basically, he said, look, we were worried about the safety of kids, and some of the apps that were doing parental control were actually using MDM, were using mobile device management and actually putting privacy at risk. That was their justification.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot to unpack. I think probably if you're Tim Cook and if you're Tim Cook's public affairs and PR team, you think you probably had a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I can actually channel my buddy John Keat, I like.
Please don't. I don't want to have to edit.
I like to let him do the work whenever possible and just sort of like, you know.
Quite right. Quite right.
Like coast on his efforts.
As one does. Hi, John.
He said that Apple had great cards and played them really well, that Tim Cook played those cards really, really well. Mm-hmm. Compared to Amazon having mediocre cards and playing them as best as Bezos could, and that Google basically was sort of surrounded on all sides.
Yeah.
And the Mr. Pichai was not able to play his cards as well as the other tech icons.
Mm-hmm. I think I did see one quote that I saw that came out of it that got a fair amount of discussion was Bezos calling social media a nuanced destruction machine, which I thought was actually sort of clever.
Which is nuanced from him, I suppose. I saw some quite fun tweets about kind of comparing the different cameras and way people are using. I can't remember who it was that did it. I feel bad. I'm sure we'll find it on Twitter. Anyway, they pointed out that Tim Cook basically made his as boring as possible so that you forgot about it straight away. And I think probably you could pay him no higher compliment.
Yeah. Well, and I think when I heard who all they were going to get, you know, we're going to get all these people together and make all of them talk to us about this, right? About big tech. Like, I was sort of curious how they would have the same questions for Apple that they would for Google, because yes, Google does make one model of phone, but like, yeah, like the thing about Google is the, you know, having a Google account or, you know, or using Google Hangouts or, you know, any of the other stuff that goes into Google things. And
they didn't really ask them the same questions, though.
Yeah, well, like I wonder.
Each of the companies was asked different things about different elements, and of course, it being a congressional hearing, there was lots of grandstanding on the part of all players.
I'm not surprised. mostly it was just because, like, when I think of the companies that are there, like, I don't see a whole lot. I feel like I would want that more of that time to go to questioning Google about what they're doing or Amazon about what they're doing with the customer data that they have, given that if all you have to go on is what the company tells you, right, then everything that we've gotten from Apple has been a lot more transparent and a lot more upfront about what they do with the information of yours that they collect than, say, Google, you know, whose slogan was don't get caught. No, wait. It was don't be evil. Don't be caught being evil. You know, Amazon, send, like, the public stuff we've seen about Amazon and, like, the wrong people accessing stuff from other people's Echo devices and stuff, you know, like,
yeah, but let's hang on before we go too far down this path. Let's be clear what this hearing was about. As in the politics of it, not the technical bits about it. It was about showing, I assume, that your Congress was dealing with big tech and questioning big tech. And that was all those things.
Yeah.
I suspect Satya Nadella had a really nice day. He put on C-SPAN, made himself a nice long drink, and had a very nice afternoon.
Yes. Whereas, I imagine there was popcorn. Yeah.
Right. And that's fine. And it shows the kind of shift in power in tech and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark Zuckerberg looked typically kind of uncomfortable. He did that thing that he did the other time where he starts every question answer with congressman to, like, buy himself some time. And it's a slow tick thing he does. And
yeah
Tim Cook was ready to go.
What did you notice, dude?
Tim Cook was ready to go. And Mark was his usual bizarrely awkward, weird self.
Well,
did they not upgrade his firmware before the hearing?
Stop it. The thing about Tim Cook is that this is what he was built for, right? This Tim Cook can do. Tim Cook has many attributes. One of them is he seems to be able to play politics, both corporate and national politics, really well. We've mentioned numerous times how he has managed to somehow build had until this point built a working relationship with Donald Trump, someone who I imagine on almost every issue going, Tim Cook and the president have a totally different point of view. But Tim Cook took a decision very early on in the Trump presidency that he was going to engage. He had no choice. Mm-hmm. And we now have a massive plant and Apple site opening in Texas. And President Trump has commented himself publicly about the good relationship he has with Tim Cook. The thing about, so Tim Cook is good at politics, is my point. So
yeah,
particularly when he's on home turf, he's not sitting in Congress and not sitting, you know, like a witness in the box.
Right.
He's quite comfortable in that environment. And yes, Apple also, as John Keat rightly pointed out, had good cards. But he is a good card player in these circumstances, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is. Charlotte, I know you weren't covering Apple back when, many years ago when this happened, but there was a Senate hearing where about offshoring profits and hiding money from taxation here in the States. And Apple, being a company that mints money, was one of the companies dragged up in front of that particular hearing.
Which year was this?
It was many years ago.
It's been a really long time. I don't remember either.
I don't remember what. Yeah, I don't remember when it was. I want to say it was 5 or 6 years ago, but time does weird things to one's memory. And my point is,
so did March.
Tim John McCain was really going after, or trying at least really to go after Apple, and Tim was like, "We follow." He was just so plain spoken and not in any way whatsoever, hedging or obfuscating or trying to dodge anything. He just said, "We follow the law. If you want us to behave differently, change the law.
Yeah.
And it was just such a fantastic response.
He's made similar points subsequently in Europe as well, hasn't he?
Yeah. Because it's the same situation there where like everything Apple is doing is well within the confines of the law. So if you don't like what Apple is doing, then make the law different and they'll abide by that law and then they'll be doing what you want. Like, yeah. But I remember, Brian, I know the hearing that you're talking about, and the thing that I remember about it is like basically there was the moment where John McCain was trying to get tech support from Tim Cook. And then also the harder that people in Congress were trying to press him on whatever it was that they were trying to ask, like the more he just sat there and was completely calm and just continued to hew the line, you know, like everything we are doing is well within the boundaries of the law, and just sort of continued to stick to that, which is true, continued to stick to it. And it was just sort of interesting to watch people feel like they were going to, I think a lot of people went in there thinking they were going to score points off this guy who took over for Steve Jobs. You know, and that's absolutely not what happened. So,
yeah, I mean, Tim Cook, yeah, you're both quite right. Tim Cook is good at this stuff.
Oh, yeah. And he could do this all day long.
Has the personality traits that make him good at this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unlike Mr. Zuckerberg.
This is true.
Listen, you said it, not me. I just thought it.
I'll say it. Yeah, yeah, he's not very good at this.
You know, Sundar Pichai comes over very well. He's a kind of super smart, tidy, organized, eloquent guy. I think, yeah, it's interesting. I think those, yeah, I don't know, maybe those two are more relatable, but I think
the word you're looking for is nerd, but go ahead. I'm sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, sure. Long live the nerds. But I think it will be interesting to see if Apple can pull itself away from those three companies, because Kelly, you're right, they are very different companies. Mm-hmm. And you can make the big data case and lump Google, Facebook and Amazon in with that. I think Apple is clearly trying to carve itself away from that bit. Yep. The bit it's finding it harder to separate itself on, and actually is in a way being separated and isolated on, is the issue of antitrust in terms of the App Store, which the criticism keeps raining in, including a new complaint in the EU from Telegram today.
Yeah. And we do see complaints about that stuff. But one thing that I did think that was interesting that Tim Cook did say yesterday was we're not the leader in anything.
Apple loves this point, don't they?
Yeah.
I wrote up and shared a link to the opening statement, the preset statement that Tim Cook made and submitted in written form. Mm-hmm. And his quote was, Apple does not have a market share in any basically in any product line, in any market. Mm-hmm. Apple is not dominant.
Right.
And that's a really interesting point, because we think of Apple because of its branding and marketing and just its kind of cultural significance. Mm-hmm. As this company that everyone has every product of and whatever.
Everybody has an iPhone. Like, that doesn't, nobody thinks that's a crazy statement anymore. Yeah.
Except no.
Yeah. But I thought that was an interesting thing, because like you said, that's like, if you asked a lot of people, like, what's the most popular phone? Like, what's the most popular mobile phone? Most people are going to say probably iPhone. And so like, that sort of, getting that reminder right out of the gate, you know, because it was even ahead of time, like you said, it was part of the opening statement that was released before the hearings even started. And, you know, hearing that bit there, and, you know, we are not the market leader in any of this stuff, is a reminder that I think sometimes we need, because, like you said, the cultural impact versus the actual, you know, numbers, which we're going to find out more about later today, are kind of like, it was a very interesting thing to see pointed out again.
So. Yeah. So the quote from that document is, Apple does not have a dominant market share in any market where we do business. And that's in any product category. It's, yeah, that's a thing that Apple is keen to remind people. It's certainly keen to remind lawmakers.
And it should be keen to, I mean, the notion of going after Apple for a monopoly in anything is wholly devoid of logic or reason or evidence.
It doesn't, all those things. Yes.
It doesn't make any sense. And yet it is sort of a perennial.
but topic. Here we are. Yeah. So I do think it's interesting. Sort of watching that happen. So yeah.
And as we said, meanwhile, Satya Nadella just sat at home with his popcorn.
Yes. Popcorn and a rum and Coke. I don't know what he would drink. I just, you know, maybe a nice bourbon, a bourbon old enough to drive itself home, as I like to say. Who knows? But I did think it was really interesting that Microsoft wasn't there, just based on, you know, it was just another one of those markers of how the world has changed, I think.
For sure. It's funny what a couple of decades can do in the tech industry.
I mean, maybe even one. Like, would this have, I mean, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So, that's basically going to do it for us today. It was very interesting to see the notes. I will have links to all of these articles, including, if you want to sit down and watch Tim Cook's opening statement, we have a link to that too in the show notes. We'll have a number of things in there for you. If you've feedback on any of this, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily and Twitter, and you can even leave comments in the show notes. I will leave a little bit of housekeeping here. As I mentioned, we're going to get more numbers later today because Apple's earnings call is happening this afternoon, and so you can find full coverage of that over at TMO, and we will be talking about it tomorrow morning and giving you the basic breakdown and a little bit of perspective on that, so you can look forward to that tomorrow.
I'm sure they're going to give us loads of detail and tell us exactly how many people are signed up to each thing, and
it's going
to
be two hours of, this is how many people watched Greyhound, this is how many people
I'm sure
are on,
we're
going to
get
TV+.
So many details about all sorts of services and product and specific products.
All the nitty and the gritty. That's going to be today's earnings call.
Sure.
Yes. That's absolutely. That's totally what's going to happen. I believe you, Charlotte. But like I said, that's going to do it for us today. Charlotte, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Brian, as always, thank you for coming by.
Yeah, all right. Sure. Let's go with that. Thanks for having us, Kelly. Good to be here. We really appreciate it.
All right. I'm sorry. I should have said thank you, Brian Morning Zoo Chaffin, for swinging by today.
He's working on my horn sound.
Yeah. So Brian's going to go work on his horn sound so he can be here tomorrow and use it during the earnings conversation. I am your host, Kelly Gamana. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.